Entrepreneurship is great, but can also seem overwhelming. Wouldn't you like to know the pros, opportunities, and problems with different business and investment strategies before you jump in? Well then, welcome to Entrepreneurship Exposed.
Let's go. It's another episode of Entrepreneurship Exposed with your guy, Bees. And we are going to have a very important conversation today. Now, Entrepreneurship Exposed, as you know, it is that podcast where we talk about everything related to entrepreneurship with a twist of business acquisitions. But what are the most important things when it comes to a business, whether you build it or acquire it, is how you're going to fund it to scale it. And today we got a special guest, Mrs. Cashflows herself, where we're going to get deep in and talk about the secrets of business funding. Expose. Mrs. Cashflows, Akilo, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I am doing amazing. Thank you for having me, Mr. Bees.
Awesome. It's been a while, too. I haven't seen you in a few months now. What was that, the last event and everything? And then we talking, but we also working getting you into some acquisitions, too. We're taking everything to a whole next level. You ready for it?
Yes, I'm with that. Let's go.
Awesome. Well, tell the people a little bit more about yourself. Tell them about who you are, your background, everything.
Oh, wow. So my name is, I'm Akilah, known as Mrs. Cashflows, everywhere on social media. I am someone that literally went from bankruptcy to offering and helping other entrepreneurs build and obtain over $250,000 in business credit and funding. I got into this situation as a business. In this company started pretty much on accident. I don't want like using the word accident. I went bankrupt in my old business. I had a background in real estate, scaled up to 14 units. I was killing it for like 5 years until the competition came in, dried up all the professional hosts and in Chicago, and they undercut the prices. So I literally went 4 months without any bookings on 14 units that were in my personal name, which was a huge nightmare. So I had to become a product. I'm not only the president of the company, I'm also a client. Exactly.
Yeah, nobody, I don't know if anybody recognize or will catch that reference.
That's an old school term.
you may be aging yourself, dating yourself there, because I caught it. I know.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I ended up, I left corporate America in like 2014 after being terminated 3 times because of the economy. They just kept letting me go. So that's when I ran into my first unofficial mentor, who was like a slash friend who lived in my condo building, who presented Airbnb to me. So she was like, "You have the best condo in the building, girl. Don't you own other properties?" At this time, I owned 2 4-units. And I was a long time, landlord at the time. And I had a condo that I personally lived in. So falling on hard times, and I still had bills due. Because you know how we do in corporate America. Even though we're balling, making $60 an hour, I still was living check to check.
Hold up. Reiterate that one more time. Because I had the exact same experience. Most people were like, "Wow, you working at Microsoft? Wow, you was making a lot of money too?" Because I was in my 6 figures. I was before or after bonuses around 200K a year, and still technically check to check. That's a very big thing that happens when you are an employee in your 9 to 5.
Oh my God, you just made me feel even worse. I forgot about the 5% bonuses we got on top of what I was making. I wanted to keep up with the Joneses. That middle class is something else. So we were acquiring more and more liabilities. Well, at least I was sort of smart enough, and I thought I was smart enough at the time, where I was a landlord and thought I was winning. Well, what I now know, I really wasn't. Because the most important number when you're in real estate is the number of doors. So I really wasn't making any money. It was pretty much a hobby. Even though I owned 2 4-units, I was just making enough money to cover the mortgage. And if we had a move out, it was $5,000 to $7,000 to flip that apartment. And guess what? That goes my profit for the year. Yeah. So I learned a lot, Bees, and that's why I'm here, especially when it came to business credit and funding. I had an 815 credit score, so going against what my then mentor, my short-term Airbnb mentor, told us, you know, I formed the LLC, Bees, but I did not put the apartments in the corporation's name because they were willing to give it to me because I had an 815 credit score. They're like, hey, we'll give you 4 units right now in your personal name. And I'm like, okay. And that 4 units turned into 14 units in my personal name. So you can imagine.
Didn't they give it into your business name with a PG of the personal side?
They were telling me at the time I wanted to get into those luxury downtown apartments, high-rise buildings overlooking the lakefront and A++ class units. And they were like, your company is just too new for us. It's not at least 2 years old. So maybe put it in your personal name and then maybe we can consider, you know, after a 2-year period, putting in your corporation's name. Honestly, it was my mistake. I made a lot of mistakes. I never took the action to convert it into my business name once the lease renewal came up. I just thought everything was good because when I entered the Airbnb industry, I was in what was known as a blue ocean. I was a pioneer. There was no competition. So I thought it would always be that way. And you have to also understand, I was a rookie entrepreneur. I came out from corporate America making 200K plus a year, easy, with a lifestyle that I only dreamed of at the time. I just thought it was sweet. I was very naive and I was greedy too. I learned a lot about myself. I really did.
Wow. Okay, so pause. Now, even though this is live, we're able to edit a little bit later before we release it, right? So I was going to take a quick moment and just double check everything. I did see the team saying that your audio was a little bit low. Team, is that still the case? Do you feel she's a little bit low on audio? If so, then Akila, just maybe speak up a little bit if possible. I do see. Do I seem okay to you though, Akila? Do you no lag or
yeah,
nothing like that?
Yeah, you sound really great. Should I take my mic off?
Nah. Well, they said no. They said the audio is okay now. Don't worry, you're good now.
Okay.
And no lag, right? No internet lag on my end that you see. Okay. And Akila, you no internet lag that you're seeing on your end from me and you, right?
No, it's okay. Really smooth.
Perfect. I just want to make sure, do that quick temperature check. And team, just make sure you make a note of about 8 minutes in, and then we're going to cut this part. All right. And for the few that are live here, you're getting behind the scenes. This is how we do it.
I know, right?
Okay. So back into it. Now, Akila, I know that we're focused on Secrets of Business Funding Exposed, but you just blew people's minds for a moment on a very key thing. I know that a very popular thing has become the whole Airbnb strategy and, you know, getting a bunch of units and then renting them out. You just gave everybody the real of that strategy because you're not always able to get immediately into your corporation's name because they may say it's too new. Do you think that that's only for because you were going for the top notch, the highest tier units? Or have you seen that across the board where they would say, no, we still need it in your personal name first for a few years, and then you could switch it to your corporation name?
And here's the thing. You just have to keep going and asking until someone is going to put it into your personal name. I mean, into your corporation's name. And I just took the first yes out of greed. My first unit, my condo, that was the first unit I put on Airbnb. And I made $84,000 less than a year. So I was like, wow, if I could get 10 of these, right, do the math. I ended up getting a mentorship after the first unit, and he taught us how to scale. First off, I scaled too fast. I scaled improperly, and I didn't follow the blueprint exactly. So when I found myself in trouble, he helped me. So that's one lesson I learned. First and foremost, if you're going to pay someone to mentor you, follow the blueprint to the T, right? That's first and foremost, right? Number two, I scaled too quickly. I shouldn't have scaled so fast. I needed to give myself time to develop as an entrepreneur and get good in the space. So by the time trouble came my way, I really didn't know what to do, because honestly, I was doing what they called as, okay, so I posted the units and I just was allowing customers to come to me. And I was just traveling all over the world. I was disconnected from my business. Everything was on autopilot. Life was great. Once the competition came, look them up, Saunders. They are still killing it. Remember, 5 years prior, when I first entered the industry, there was no competition. Fast forward five years, you can sort of remember the development of Airbnb. And that's when REITs and hedge funds started to get in on this Airbnb thing. And so Saunders was a huge hedge fund that went across the country, and they started setting up pretty much many hotels, and they had a marketing team, strategies. They not only were on Airbnb, they were just everywhere. They had their own marketing outside of that. And on top of that, they did to a professional host what Walmart did to Kmart. Remember how Walmart set up right next door to all the Kmarts and slashed the prices half?
Yeah,
that's what Saunders did to us, and we just couldn't compete. Just couldn't compete.
Wow. I love to say that I don't like to do plays. I feel that plays get played out. I'm not going to say that Airbnb rentals is a play. I'm not going to say that specifically. But it is something that it's not specifically a sustainable strategy, because you're beholden so much onto so many things. For example, you're in the Georgia area. Didn't they pass something in Atlanta or so, or throughout all of Georgia, that said that they're going to restrict people to, you could only have like two rental properties, short-term rental properties, something along those lines? Wasn't there a law like that that was passed about a year or so ago?
Yeah, I know it was something complicated. Saunders took me out. So when I was in Chicago, I got out of the Airbnb game. But yeah, definitely, I had some people sort of like hitting me up. And I was like, look, I'm not in the industry anymore. Because, you know, I was known as being in that industry. And they were like, well, what do we do? They're putting these mandates and these ordinances out. I'm like, I am out of the industry. But here's what I would like your viewers to understand, what I now know. When what that is known as is lease arbitrage. So you rent a unit and you re-rent it. What I now know, having been devastated by that, it was so bad that I literally just lost everything. I had $150,000 liquid cash, liquidated it, trying to save the failing business, paying the rents in my personal name, trying to protect my name. And I tried to max out my credit cards, but as soon as that credit utilization went up, everyone lowered my credit lines and I was popped. I was on my way homeless. I was near homelessness. I was literally hiding from the guy to avoid eviction, knocking at my door. So it got that bad. And what I learned is, never put yourself — that was another rule I didn't follow in real estate, because I was part of a real estate mentorship overall. They say never enter in any real estate deal unless you have at least 3 exit strategies. With lease arbitrage, you have 1 exit strategy. They must rent. You can't sell it.
Yeah.
Maybe you can try to lease it out if that was part of your agreement. But pretty much you have 1 exit strategy. Like, that strategy has to work. And guess what? It no longer was working.
Yeah. And so you ended up filing bankruptcy in your personal
name. Oh, my God.
Right?
It was bad, Bees. It was bad.
It was a lesson learned, right?
Oh, my God. That's why I'm here. Everything was in my personal name. So I was used to paying my bills. I had $150,000 liquid cash. Big mistake. That capital should have been working for me in other places. That was another mistake I learned. Having it in my personal name, that means now I have to file personal bankruptcy. Now, it was hard for me to restart. But if you really think about it, had I followed the blueprint in the correct fashion, I could have bankrupted the business went forward with my 815 credit score and did something different with my $150,000 liquid cash. And I would have been able to rebound from that situation. So I learned a lot.
So that, I mean, like we said, that's a lesson learned, and it led you to where you are today, which I think is even stronger, right? Now you figured out, first thing that you got to explain is that you were able to get that bankruptcy off in what, 6 months or something like that?
5 months.
Five months. Ooh, can you tell us a little bit about that?
So, you know, hiding from the guy to avoid eviction, to avoid getting served, eviction notification, I knew I needed a new plan. So I say, what is my next best move? I started driving Uber. It was my lowest point in my life. Mm. I got 10K and I relocated to Atlanta. I joined a financial literacy mentorship. And I did everything. I took action. So as soon as I got in the mentorship, my bankruptcy was off in 5 months. Because first of all, I was shocked. I was like, we could get rid of a bank. I see him 500 taking the mentees on a jet. Saying, we could get rid of your bankruptcy, car repos, student loan debt. I'm like, bankruptcy? And I'm like, oh my God, I could get rid of this? Man, got rid of the bankruptcy. People in the mentorship started coming to me, asking me to fund them, because then I turned around and I funded myself over $300,000, right? I was a beast. I was hungry. And get rid of the bankruptcy, funded myself. I'm thinking I'm starting a home healthcare business, but that wasn't in God's plan for me. I quickly realized I went through what I went through so I can be there to develop the product that I now have and to help and save as many people as possible to avoid the situation I went through. And yeah, I got rid of it in 5 months.
Wow, that's powerful. Now, here's the most important thing that I have to say to everybody, everyone that's out here listening, whether you're hearing it today or a year from now, the United States of America is not a country. The United States of America is a corporation. And why am I mentioning that? Because if it is a corporation, and this is not Bees just saying this, this is in the laws, you can look it up yourself. It will state that the United States of America is a corporation. And if that's the case, the laws in this corporation are built for corporate entities. So you have to know how to take advantage of corporate entities to your favor. Had Akilah was able to, you know, get those rental units in her corporation's name, a bankruptcy in the corporation is a whole different thing from a personal bankruptcy. And you could still be protected and good to go when you're getting a bankruptcy in the corporation. That's called restructuring in a corporation, right? But now this led you to understanding more of the rules of the game of this corporation we call the United States. And that led you to realize the power of business credit because you started getting funding, the power of your personal credit, how you can control your personal credit. If you know how to use the laws in your favor, you can actually get anything off of your personal credit report. Am I right?
I mean, that was well said. That was, you know, that was a nice speech. That was a Dr. Martin Luther King speech you just said. I am not kidding you. That's real. And unfortunately, too many of us as entrepreneurs, we find out the hard way. I'm here to tell you guys what Bees just said and laid out to you is fact. What I experienced is fact. I highly recommend you get financial literacy and understand how corporations work and how things work in this country. 100%.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So take a quick pause again. We're at about 20 minutes in team. Since Akilah loved what I said and call it the Martin Luther King speech, let's make sure we cut that as a clip and we're going to put that in a reel too. Right. So make note right around 19 minutes. When I start talking about the United States of America as a corporation, we'll cut that clip. Thanks, Akilah.
Man, I'm for real. That was real. Please say that to some more people.
It's the truth. It's the truth. We got to, you know, one of the things that another example I give when I normally explain that is how Donald Trump buried his ex-wife on one of his golf courses because he found a tax loophole that said you know, that now it's going to be designated with that one body on there. It's designated as a cemetery, and there's no state tax, no property tax, no nothing. And you can't be seized by the government, all of that. So we got to learn these type of, you know, I don't even want to call them tricks of the trade. No, it's the rules of the game. We got to learn what exists out there so we can take advantage of it.
I mean, if we don't know what game we playing, how are we going to play it?
How we
don't hate, don't hate, don't hate the, don't hate the game. Learn it.
Yeah, we go. There we go. All right. So now we're getting into the power of business credit, because now you started getting funding too, as you explained, right? So I remember when I was running in e-commerce, I had a colleague. He was, you know, running his own Amazon store too. I was also, and he would always be like, you know, ordering so much more units of his product than me, but we were earning about the same. And I was like, yo, how are you ordering like 50,000 units to, you know, restock when I'm doing 10,000? And he's like, well, you know, just get yourself a low cost, a low interest credit card. And I was like, you say that like it's easy, but mm-hmm. I didn't realize it is easy, right? If you structure your business properly, you got to start with your personal side, because gone are the days. And you tell me if I'm wrong, because you are the expert on this too, but gone are the days where it was so easy to just fake your business credit buildup, right? Mm-hmm. You used to, you know, you could do the tier ones, then the tier twos, and then you're buying these things from Grainger and Quill and all of these things, and it helps to build up your credit. It still works. However, most of the financial institutions that entrepreneurs are going to be going to, they're going to require a PG. And if they're going to require a PG, I'm not talking about fintech, of course. Fintech, you know, that's just revenue. But if they're going to require a PG, that means we need to have our personal credit good, not because we're going to put debt in it, but just because we want to use it for the PG and then take off those hard pulls as well, so we can rinse and repeat. Am I right or am I wrong? You tell me.
Oh, you're 100%. But here's what people need to understand. You need to look at your business credit profile being built out like a baby. Mm-hmm. So it's brand new. We need to add some lines to it, so you don't have any business credit. So what do? We look at your personal credit for credibility and can we trust you, and for risk factor. Okay, your personal credit is in order now. Okay, let's give them these lines of credit. Now, once you get to 6 months to a year, now that business that business profile is now standalone. We got hundreds of thousands of business funding, and it can stand for itself and sustain. So now future business credit is now standalone. You no longer need to PG it, if that makes sense.
There we go.
We have to develop the lines of credit in order to build the trust with the banks and develop a history of doing business on a business credit profile. Yeah, it definitely starts with a PG. And why wouldn't you PG it? I mean, what's the ladder? A lot of us are just using our personal credit anyways and being trapped.
Exactly. Using it wrong.
Here's another. I like when you gave the Dr. Martin Luther King speech, right? That was amazing. I wanted to jump up out my seat. But it also made me think about O.J. Simpson. I was in an estate planning workshop years ago in my real estate community, right? They used to teach us and develop us. And I was in a community workshop that was about estate planning. And his hook was, at the end, he was like, you can even murder two people and your assets will still be protected. And I was like, okay, what is he talking about? Where are we going with this? And he spoke about O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson, he got away with the crime, but the Goldmans, the family, they won a wrongful lawsuit, I think for like $25 million against him. And I'll never forget, I saw an interview with the dad and the daughter, the Goldmans, the son who ended up getting murdered with his ex-wife. And he looked them in, they were on stage, and he said, you guys will never see a dime of that money. And what he meant by that was, even his football pension, everything, every stream of income, every piece of whatever income was coming in was buried in trust and was not in OJ's name. But look who his friend was, the Kardashian's father.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's powerful. He's been to jail twice, and he still got all his assets and money. No one can touch it. That's just the American way.
that is American way. And that, and you know, we can complain about it and be like, that's not fair and that type of stuff. Or we could say, okay, that's how it works. Well, how do I do it too?
Yeah, no.
So, okay, let's get more into the business funding itself, because that's the lifeblood of any business, right? Now, I'm going to say this, though. If you acquire a business, you don't got to worry about building up business credit, because if you acquire it the right way, you're getting that history of the business along with this business credit. So you're not only walking into cash flow, but you're also walking into being fundable immediately, right? So yes. tell people more about how does business funding work? Where are you getting funding from? What are the requirements? Anything that you want to add into how business funding really works?
Oh, we get into the spicy stuff now. This is my juju. All right, so business credit and funding is available to a brand new LLC. So say Mike, I'll say my friend Mike, he started a corporation. He set himself up properly. It's brand new LLC. He established his credibility, meaning his name, everything is professional. A professional name, email, website, phone number. So it's its own entity. It's totally separating him from the business, right? And he can go and get what is known as 0% interest credit cards up to 20 months. 0% interest credit cards from multiple banks, right? Mm. In doing so, we can get Mike anywhere from 80 to 120K plus in 0% interest credit. But you have to start on your personal side. You need to make sure that your personal profile is set up and staged in a way that's going to yield you high credit card limits. Mm. What do I mean? Your data points. So there are 5 data points that they're looking at on the personal side, right? They're not so much concerned about the credit score itself. So we need to make sure we don't have too many late payments. Our utilization is below 30. I say below 10%. We need to make sure that everything is paid on time, 0 late payments. It is not okay to have a couple of late payments, guys. I'm sorry. We need to have 0 late payments. No charge-offs, no bankruptcies, no lawsuits, nothing. Everything is clean, staged, perfect. We need to get limits on the personal side, because they use your highest credit card limit on your personal side and they decide how much credit to extend to you when you apply for a business credit card. You tend to receive 2 to 3 times higher credit card limit amounts. So if my highest credit card limit is 5K on average with all the credit cards that's on my personal side, I can get anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 business credit card. It makes sense, right? At first, it didn't make sense, right? But as I'm in this industry, it makes sense. Your personal credit, they use that for traveling, groceries, just for emergency purposes. So when they see you maxing out your personal credit cards, which a lot of you are, I'm guilty of it. I was trying to do business in my personal name. Once it gets past that 30% threshold, you trigger them. They're like, oh my God, Mike is in trouble. But on the business side, it's okay to max that $15,000 credit card. The only data point that matters over there primarily is that you pay it on time. So you're like, well, Mike, business is good. Mike is using all $15,000 and he's able to pay us on time. So you as a brand new LLC, you have funding available to you anywhere from 80 to 120K. In 0% interest credit cards. Once your personal credit profile is set up and staged in the correct fashion, we can then use it to leverage it in order to get approvals for high interest credit cards. So that's highly important. The only difference is we would like a business to be at least 2 years old, and that's when we will then be approved for those no documentation loans up to 50K with multiple banks. And that highly increases the amount of funding that you'll receive overall.
Definitely, definitely. And of course, when you do these, and if you have PGs that happen, personal guarantees, and then it puts a hard pull on your credit report, explain to everybody how easy it is to get the hard pulls off.
Okay, so it's easy to get the hard pulls off because when you call to get rid of an inquiry, they're searching for one thing. They want to know, number one, because an inquiry just means I filled out an application and inquired for credit. It does not mean that an account was open. So now that you're establishing business credit, you're going to develop business credit reports. You have Business Experian, Business Equifax, and you have Dun's and Bradstreet. So those business credit cards should create business credit profiles and are not reported to your personal credit. So even though your personal credit was pulled to get approved for the business credit, you can then call and say, hey, you know, it's not mine. You know, I just want to dispute it and get rid of it. Right. And they're going to look for it to be attached to an account because there's no account for it to be attached to on your personal credit. They just remove it right away. Same thing when I just went for a car, B's. I voluntarily told them to just run up my credit to get the best rate because I didn't want to put any money down. I was like, run me at all credit unions. They ran me like 22 inquiries, right? So I ended up going with Allied. Yeah, so I ended up going with Allied Credit Union because it was, you know, no money down. And I just got rid of all the rest of them like literally the next day.
True that. True that. And that's a tip that we're going to give everybody right now. If you're going to go buy a car, the better strategy is go to your credit union that you already are with. Go to them before you go to the dealership. Get approved for whatever, right? If you already know the car you're going for, you could get them the VIN and they'll approve you for that amount. If you know the type of car but don't know the exact one yet, they'll approve it because they'll look at like the fair market value. Now when you go into the dealership, if they want to run your credit, tell them to only run it with their financial company. So Mercedes, you going into Mercedes-Benz, you only run it with Mercedes Financial, right? Now they're gonna say, oh, we were able to get you this much approved with Mercedes Financial. And you can say in your mind, well, I actually got this much of my credit union already. Well, let's just use this. You didn't even have to tell them that you had it already until it's time to sign on the dotted line. And then you give it to them. Now they didn't pull your credit with all these different places. They also, if they didn't know you had that coming in, they didn't try to tack on a bunch of fees on the back end because you already got it covered. So, yeah, that's a whole different discussion.
Oh, and you know, I love that you mentioned that. And let me give them this piece of juice. I'm struggling with people, even though those inquiries aren't attached to an actual car loan. Like, we only see one car, right? But if you allow it to linger on your credit report for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, they're pushing back on removing those inquiries. So you need to get those inquiries removed ASAP.
Immediately. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right. So now with you knowing, well, first of all, we got to do this. It's time to pop. Right. Because we've already been deep going in on what business funding and business credit looks like. So we need to just lay it out for the people, because here on Entrepreneurship Exposed, we don't hold anything back. Too many times entrepreneurs are focused on, oh, yeah, I'm driving a Lambo and everything's great. No, that's not always true. That's never true. We always have problems. But as an entrepreneur, we know that we're going to overcome them. We're going to figure out and solve problems. We come up with solutions. Right. So now, what are the pros of focusing on business credit and business funding?
Oh, my God. We kind of discussed it, but totally separating yourself from your business. Number one, that's first and utterly your first order of duty as an entrepreneur. Another pro is you can obtain funding once you're set up and structured out in the correct fashion. You can now obtain funding to start, grow, or scale a business. And invest and put monies in different, you know, pots and to protect yourself, right? You can hire a team so that you're not making the phone calls and sending out the emails. You can go off into different ventures and you can just get mentorship. It's a lot of different things you can do with business funding that you cannot do with just depending on the streams of the flow of money that's coming into the business. You can scale and be great. Like ASAP, like and it's less stressful. I could go on and on and on. It's so less. I'm in LA at the BET Awards event because I got 0% interest credit cards. I don't need to wait for capital. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to wait for capital to come into my business. Swipe, I'm coming. It's a business expense.
There we go. I'll also say, and so I'll add two pros to that. One is just elaborating on what you said. If you're using those cards properly and it's in your business name and it's business expense, and if you're using some of the reward cards too, now you could use those points to travel for free and, you know, enjoy your life in a different way, right? All from expenses that you already had. It's not like you're incurring new expenses just for the sake of getting points. These are expenses you were going to have in your business anyway, and now you're getting an additional benefit. But I'll also say another pro is the fact that you could get funding in some cases immediately. You could have started your LLC yesterday and get funding immediately. For example, you know, I was actually the one that kind of created what they dubbed the Bank of America play, because I found out something with my relationship banking. Then I passed it to one community and then it blew up. Everybody's like, oh, you got the play, run the play. But it's not a play. It was just one of the programs that Bank of America had. And you could have started your business yesterday and they would give you up to, I think, 4 or 5 auto loans.
Yeah,
in your business name. And if you did it at the same time, you could get it with one hard pull on your personal credit, but the loans would be in your business name. And now you have these cars in your business name and you're more protected again. So you have the opportunity to get funding immediately, and you're going to get more later on as you build up history, but you can't beat this for sure.
Okay, but what about this part too? I love that you mentioned that. The mere fact that once you're moving credit into your business name, that means that your personal credit is still available for leverage. Well, you can, exactly, as you start making money, you just have LLCs on the shelf. Just sitting
there, you go.
like a bench, like a basketball game, like they hold up, because like when you're ready, you just pull it off the shelf and you leverage your personal credit again.
Yes,
and you
yes,
do it again.
Yes. I love it. Rinse and repeat. We got to learn the rules of this game. All right. So now opportunities. What are some of the opportunities that are coming in? You know, things that are happening in the world that, hey, this is going to be a great time to get funding. You know, even though I know we're going through a recession now, what would you say are some of the opportunities related to business funding and business credit?
Well, right now, all the opportunities, I haven't seen anything slow down. I've been kind of hot on the internet. I've been picking up a lot of clients lately. And to be honest, I never really sat up and got nervous about it. A little bit I was when they kept saying recession, recession, recession. I was only nervous because I didn't want the people to think there were a recession and they not move forward. But I haven't seen anything slow down. People are still getting approved. I think the opportunity is now, and I think you need to take action now before they do decide to make any changes. I think the opportunity right now is for you to get $250,000 if your business is over 2 years old plus, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not as hard as you think it is. It's very easy. And it's wide open. So I would take advantage right now and I would start learning financial literacy. Like, Bees, I'm such a fan of yours, and you know this, right? Just from what it is that you do, it's like so amazing giving people that idea, like, hey, you don't need to just get a business, you know, and build it out. You can, it's an opportunity for me to get funding and then hook up with Bees and he guide me towards a business that's already established, and I can go get corporate credit. It levels to it. It just goes on and on and on. Yes.
I love it. That actually, I was going to save that for the problems, as we're going to get into the problems. Why? Because, well, first of all, thank you again for saying the kind words towards me. I'm a fan of yours. You already know that as well. I love it. And we're going to do some amazing things together. But the reason why I was saving that for the problems section is because often what I've seen, people are focused on, because now, you know, more of the lower class community is hearing about credit. Yeah, you could fix your credit and stuff, when we ignored credit for so long. So now it's like, yeah, you could fix up your credit. Then you could get business funding. Then you're using business credit. And then people are getting funded, but what are they doing with that money? That's what I feel is a problem, because they're getting funded. Sometimes they get over leveraged. Oh, let me go get funded. And since Bees mentioned you could get cars in Bank of America, let me go get 20 of those. And now I'm renting them out. But then when the economy tanks or when people stop renting as much, can you weather that storm and pay all of those car notes until the time, you know, it picks back up? right? You got to be smart with what you do with your business funding, right? So that was my contribution to the problem section, is about what do you do with the funding. And obviously you came up with a great solution, is, well, you get funded, then you can come to like my team, where you can learn how to acquire a business with zero out of your pocket. You can just pay to join that, invest in that. Or I got a different company called Capital Bees, where we can do it for you. We do the acquisition for you. So you invest in that, and now you're going to get something that's going to be cash flowing immediately once the acquisition is complete, right?
Because here's what they need to understand. So when I lost it all, Bees, and I relocated to Atlanta, I knew there was a gap in my knowledge. So it was financial literacy. Here it is. I'm from the hood. I was street smart. I was book smart. I was business. I knew how to make money in my business, but I didn't know how to handle that amount of money and income that was coming in. You need guidance so that you don't be a statistic like me that had it all and then dig yourself even deeper. And now you owe 1,000 banks because you didn't do well on the business funding. Definitely take a chunk of that money. Here's my formula. If I know I'm getting $250,000, this is what I advise my mentees. You need to be looking for $25,000 to $50,000 of that money to be going towards someone to guide you in the correct fashion in order to capitalize off your new fortune. Because most of us have not seen $100,000 all at once. Most of us have not seen $200,000 all at once. So how can we readily know how to handle that type of capital? We need mentorship. We need guidance. We need partnership.
Definitely. Woo. That is powerful. I hope everybody took notes on that, because that is absolutely imperative. But what other problems would you say when it comes to, you know, funding and business credit, things that people need to be looking out for if they're going down this route?
More problems. What I would say is using it, and you're not using it for business, or you're using it to pay debt. You're using it to pay debt. People do that. Never get business funding from a bank to pay down your debt. Your business funding that you obtain should be to create a new stream of income for you, or to pay for mentorship that's going to place you in a higher income bracket. The one or the two.
There we go. That is the Martin Luther King speech right there, too, because that is the truth. It almost, I don't know, maybe it was just our culture, our environment, but it made sense to me to pay off the debt if I got funding. In the past, that was what I would do too. But then you do that and then you still owe the other money back, and you have no additional revenue to pay that back. And what are you going to do? Every time you are earning revenue, some of it should be going towards having that money go out and create more little baby monies to come back in. Have your money working for you, so that you're not working forever for it.
But how will we know that if we don't have mentorship or leadership and guidance from a person like you that is powerful when it comes to businesses, and you understand business the way that you do, where I'm just new to business? Think about it. I had no clue what I was doing. I had been conditioned. I was American dream focused. I was so conditioned when it came to that. I knew nothing about running a business. I find an opportunity and got a lot of income, but I really didn't know what to do with the money once I got it. I promise you, if I had a mentor like you, even like Akila, let's go here, let's do this. You got $150,000 liquid cash. Let's move this way. Let's protect you this way. Mentorship, guidance, and partnership, I promise you, is the most important thing you're going to do with business funding. Seriously.
Definitely. Okay. So now we've pretty much popped the business funding and business credit industry. We went into the pros, the opportunities, the problems, and there's much more to it, but those are some of the secrets, the most important ones that you're going to face at some point. But Akila, so we're talking about building up your business credit and everything. When am I going to see you do your first acquisition?
You're going to see me do my first acquisition. I want to do it next year. Right now, I'm building out my mentorship, and I'm so excited about that. And I'm getting a lot of more income. I called a friend, and you're going to be the next friend I call. I was like, look, I've never had this much money in my life. What do I do? So definitely, you and me are going to partner, because no way will I have liquid cash sitting duck waiting, just sitting there and not working on my behalf. That's one mistake I'm not going to make twice. I promise you.
There we go. There we go. Well, I do have a couple gifts for you, which might expedite that time frame once you see them. Okay. But team, do we have the gifts ready? Team, let's see if we got the gifts ready. I'll see them in the background. Okay, let's get that first one up then. Let's get that first one up for Mrs. Cashflows herself. Let's go. Oh, you got to remove the names. Names are in the way. There we go. There we go. Okay. Okay. So, Keila, I know the types of things you do. So I was looking around and just trying to see, well, what would really fit Akila's background and expertise and such. And one of the first things that I thought maybe potential is digital marketing agency. But what did I find here? Slide that over a little bit, team. I need to see which state that one is. Oh, no, the state's there. I see it in Georgia. There we go. You can zoom back in. So this one they're asking $2.4 million. They're grossing a little bit over $2 million. They are 10 years old. That's young compared to some of the ones that I prefer, but not bad. And they're keeping over $500,000, almost $600,000 in cash flow each year. Now, is this something that you think you would be interested in, owning a digital marketing agency? Would that help your existing businesses?
100% it would.
Okay, 100% it would. Well, this is our first gift to you. We're going to give you this, the contact information, everything. You can reach out on your own if you choose, or feel free to, you got my contact, so you can reach out to me and say, Bees, I want this one. Can you help me get it done? And then we talk about that too. But let's go to the next gift. Let's go to the next gift. Ooh, here we go. I know you always in events and being, you know, you got to speak in different places and, you know, you probably hosting your own events too or planning on it. What if you had an event services agency? This one is 30 years old. They're only asking $747,000. They're grossing over $1 million. They haven't got corporate credit level just yet. They're not at the $2 million up, but they're grossing over $1 million and keeping $471,000 of it. And also in Georgia. And look at it, 30 years old. If you were able to get the entity as a stock purchase, now you got their business credit and history as well. Would an event services agency benefit you in your existing business endeavors?
100%. I'm doing my first event in July. I'm having a mastermind.
Ooh, okay. Well, you know, you got to give me the information on that too. Well, you got to let me know. I'll pop up.
Nice.
Okay. So we got one more. We got three gifts for you today. We got one more. Let's get that one up. We got event services, digital. Oh, it's only the two? I thought we had a third. Where's the third? Oh, goodness. Okay, so we do have a third. Maybe it's some miscommunication on the back end. But what I'm going to do, team is going to send all this information to you of those three, because there's a third one that I think you're going to like the third one even better. I'll send it to you directly too. But we'll send you all the info. You can reach out on your own and look into it, and maybe it's something that you actually decide to go forward with, or reach out to me, and you know I can help you for sure to make that acquisition.
Now, you know I'm going to come to you for 100%. I'm not one that's going to try to figure things out and make rookie mistakes. I do nothing without guidance. Nothing.
There we go. And mentorship is an amazing thing. Expertise is an amazing thing, and we should all be falling into that. We should be looking for that guidance, that mentorship, that expertise overall. Oh, here goes that third one. Okay. This one is kind of off the cut. This is not, you know, your business funding and business credit doesn't really have anything to do with you as much. But when I saw it, I said, this has some potential. They're asking 1.4, keeping 438, but look at how much they're grossing. 5.7 million. Now, the reason why
I said they're keeping,
$438,000, right?
Nice.
So here's a funny thing when it comes to business acquisitions. If you're building a business from scratch, and I told you that the business that you're building only had a 10% profit margin, you'd be like, damn, that's not good. Why? Because that if it's only 10% profit margin, that's not enough for me to pay myself, plus reinvest in the business, plus hire some people to scale. It's going to be really difficult to scale if your profit margin is only at 10%. However, when you're acquiring a business, you're walking into cash flow. So it doesn't really matter what the percentage is, because they've been running for, how long is this one? 1994? What's that?
Wow.
30 years or so, right?
Wow.
And now you're walking into that cash flow. You can improve the profit margin later. But on top of that, you know, Mrs. Cashflows, that the banks don't lend you money based on your profit. They lend you money based on the money that you're running through the business. They lend you money based on the top line revenue. Yeah. So if they're 5.7 million gross revenue, what do you think you could get in funding if you walk into the bank with your business? This is your new business, home services business, and say, hey, I'd like to get funded.
Get definitely 2 to 3 times that amount.
Woo!
Definitely.
And you can use that to acquire another home service business or some property or some whatever it may be, and just keep the scaling going.
I hope you guys are not missing this, like the power of business and credit with the correct guidance and leadership and partnership. You can change your legacy. Like this right here is something I can pass down to my children.
There we go. And you see it got 13 employees in it. So you know it can be turnkey because there's enough employees in there. There's enough revenue in there too to hire a CEO. So you don't got to work in this, right? This could just be a stream of revenue that's coming in automatic for you. Passive.
I like that.
All right. Well,
I like that a lot.
These are your first three gifts that we have for you. Like I said, I'll have the team send you all the information so that you could check it out yourself, and then we can start that conversation. Because I think I want to see you make an acquisition sooner than next year. Now,
me too.
You may start this year, and it may take a few months because you know you're focused on other things as well. That's fine, but it's better to start now than to wait till next year to start, and then have to wait to the end of the year or so to, you know, complete everything.
Okay. Definitely. I like it. I like this a lot. I really awesome. Do, Bees. I like it a lot.
Awesome. So, Mrs. Cashflows, tell us, is there any last words that you would like to give to everybody regarding business credit, regarding funding, anything that you want people to absolutely the biggest takeaway from this show, this episode?
Man, this has been such a joy speaking with you guys and speaking with you, Bees. This is such a joy. And what I would like to do just for your viewers, so I help entrepreneurs obtain business credit and funding. I also have a mentorship program, but I would like to offer you guys a free 30-day coaching with me, a course and a 30-day free coaching program. Yes.
Let's go.
I would like to offer you guys that. Yes. All you need to do is DM me the word free game on Instagram at Mrs. Cashflows. Yes. Okay. And you will receive a link, right? And I'm going to get you guys connected. You're going to get access, and you're going to have free 30 days coaching with me. And you're going to have a full course that's going to set you up in the correct fashion to make your company credible and fundable.
Ooh, okay. We're going to make sure we drop that in the description below. You said DM the word free game, or one word together, free game. And we're DMing it. People can DM that to on IG, Mrs. Cashflows?
On Instagram, yes. All they need to do is just DM the word free game.
Okay, there we go. So we're going to drop that in the description below. And how else can people get in touch with you? Is it mainly IG? Let us know so that we can make sure that all that information is added as well.
Oh, yeah. They can follow me on YouTube. They can follow me on Instagram. I'm Mrs. Cashflows on all platforms, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. And definitely, me and my team, we will respond. My main goal is to get at least 1,000 people funded over 250,000. and I'm taking count. I'm ready.
Let's get it. I love hearing that. Now, Akila, before we leave, I got one challenge for you. And I already know that you're going to be a part of this challenge because we just kind of talked about it. And this challenge is called the Trillion Dollar Table Challenge. The Trillion Dollar Table Challenge. I want to sit in a room at a table with people who look like us at the end of the decade. And we have $1 trillion AUM, assets under management, collectively across the board. Will you be at that table?
I'm at the table, Beast. I'm there. Ooh,
there we go. There we go. $1 trillion table challenge. We're doing it through the ways of creating wealth, which are real estate, the financial markets, and of course, owning a business. Whether you build it or acquire it, owning a business, those three are the main ways for creating true wealth. And that is how we are going to power this $1 trillion table challenge, where we will see your guy B's and Mrs. Cashflows and so many others at the end of this decade. Yeah, y'all heard it here first. Let's go. Let's go. All right, Akila, thank you so much for this amazing conversation. This is important for any entrepreneur to understand how to get funding, how to focus on your personal credit so that you could get business credit, and how to then, once you get funding, what to do with that funding so that you keep revenue coming in. So thank you so much for helping us expose the secrets of business funding and business credit. And I hope to see you on another episode where we got to go deeper into this too. We got to keep talking about it so that people know that this is nothing to forget. So thank you again for joining us, Akila. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was such a joy. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, guys, y'all already know what to do. If you're watching this on YouTube, you got to like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. If you're listening on the podcast platforms, make sure you're sharing it with everybody that you know, because this information is priceless and this information will help your family create true generational wealth. Entrepreneurship Exposed with your guy B's, and I'm out. See y'all on the next episode.
Amazing. Thank you, B's. This was